Welcome to the Midday with Stephanie.
Good afternoon, Norman. And it's not only with me and you. We have a special guest this afternoon, composer John Harbison, who has been the co-founder and co-artistic director of the Token Creek Chamber Music Festival for now 20 years, is here in the studio. Welcome.
20 years. Wow. I had no idea it went on that long. Congratulations.
Yeah. Well, here we are.
Here we are again. You're a little bit like Halley's Comet, you know. So often you swim into our ken here and tell us about Token Creek and what's happened and what will happen.
And before we launch into that, we should also mention that this is not just a Wisconsin composer. Mr. Harbison has won the Pulitzer Prize and been nominated for a Grammy and had his opera commissioned by the Metropolitan Opera. And we could go on and on and on. It's quite a distinguished career, and it's an honor to have you here.
Thank you. Well, it's certainly nice to be back in Wisconsin. I've had a very transitional and checkered summer. And I'm finally stabilized for a while.
Well, that's something to look forward to. What was the concept behind Token Creek? And have you stuck with that for the 20 years?
We had a concept of making a festival in which the artists, the performers, would plan it and do things that, as side people, as sort of invited guests, we weren't able to do. We started the festival originally with two colleagues of Michael Steinberg and Georgia Flizanis, who are with us for the first few years. Michael sadly just died a few weeks ago, a wonderful historian and commentator and so forth. And Georgia was for years concertmaster of the Minnesota Orchestra, before that San Francisco. And we were all together at a festival in San Francisco as invited participants, as players, talkers, whatever. And we began to think about doing another kind of thing where we would actually do the planning. So that was how it started, and that's really been our idea ever since, is since we all have, well, certainly Rosemary and I have had experience at other places, there's always left over in your mind things that you would like to try to do, and that's pretty much what we've done these years.
And you have quite the venue for it.
Well, the venue turns out to be somewhat to our surprise, because I think initially, we began in Madison at the music hall, and we were thinking we would probably be in town. But gradually, we've come to the conclusion that doing it in our own reconditioned barn is probably for us the best venue. It fits with our idea of really presenting the whole thing. That is a kind of a idea of what size room that we want to hear these pieces and under what conditions. And so with the help of a really wonderful and very imaginative board, we've been now pretty much consolidating at the farm. We are doing a little run out in Boston.
Boston?
On. Yeah.
That's more than a little run out, I would say.
With just our jazz ensemble. But in principle, we are doing all the events at the farm, and I think that one of the things that we found about that is that the farm, it's more adaptable as a space than we thought it was. When we do the jazz, we turn it kind of into a nightclub with, you know, the tables and chairs out in that formation. It then quickly becomes various kinds of accommodates various kinds of concert forces.
Well, it's cozy as barns go.
I mean, it is.
Don't picture like a pole barn or something. This is quite a nice little space.
That's right. It seats about 100 comfortably, and more uncomfortably.
And two layers, two levels.
Right, and for the jazz, somewhat less, of course, because we have a different setup there. But I think, given that size, I know when I went on tour a couple times with orchestras to Europe and saw the places that 18th century chamber music and even orchestral music were played the first time, I was very startled that they were not large. And particularly chamber music rooms were around the size of our barn. So it is nice. Particularly also, I hear laments from my colleagues who are playing in big halls all the time, that they sometimes feel that the music and their instruments are not really built for the space that they're being asked to fill. So
that's true, even, I suppose, of, say, the Mozart piano concertos that you've played.
Oh, yeah, I think so. In fact, of course, this little series of Mozart concertos, one of the things we've been happy to be able to do is present series of certain kinds of pieces, sort of trace a certain thing along. These Mozart concertos that he designed as chamber pieces, there were five of them. This is, we're doing two this year. We did two last year. They turn into very intimate chamber pieces of a kind that really clearly he had in mind when he thought of this double design. He obviously figured out the pieces simultaneously as orchestral pieces and as chamber pieces. And when we take them down to that smaller size with five strings and a pianist, the pianist participates in a rather different way and I think communicates with the players differently. And they fit very much the size of room that we're in. So we've done them now all except for one. And that one is another of the Mozart's designs. We don't really want to do it because we feel that it's a piece, the Coronation Concerto.
Oh, it's a big one.
And it's so associated with a really large orchestration that I think that anyone who might have heard it will feel that they're missing something. Whereas I think with the ones that we've been presenting, you don't feel you're missing something. There's something about the way they've been figured out by the composer that they're very satisfying.
This is from last year, this one we're about to hear?
Yeah, the one we're going to hear is from last year. It's the E-flat K449. And this is the second movement, about a six-minute piece. One of the nice things about the way it comes across here is I think you'll hear from the very, very beginning, the pianist, who is a kind of improviser pianist, as we know, Bob Levin, is participating in the texture and in a way conversing with the more written elements from the very start in a way that really wouldn't be either appropriate or very audible in the orchestral version. So this might be a good way to get a sense of how these pieces work.
From last year's Tuggan Creek Music Festival. And, well, that's what we have as a sample of the second movement of the Mozart Piano Concerto in E-flat that was performed last year at Tuggan Creek.
Featuring pianist Robert Levin, who will also be the pianist this year for the two Mozart concerti that will be opening the festival.
And those will be the same string players.
Who were the string players?
Rosemary Harbison, Laura Burns, Jennifer Paulson, Perry Karp, and Ross Gilliland. Same group. Sorry about, on the behalf of Mozart, for the loss of one of the most beautiful closing phrases he ever wrote.
Yeah, it's unfortunate, yes.
Somehow
Mozart, even out. His day, ran into some technical difficulties when we did today. But he certainly got a sense of how transcendent that those Mozart slow movements can be, and scaled down here to just, what would it be, six players altogether?
Six players,
yeah.
And what a lovely way to enjoy Mozart, six players in an intimate setting like that. Those concerts will open the festival, and that's this weekend. Saturday evening is the first one at 8 p.m. Then there's another performance Sunday that's already sold out.
Right, and the little sequence of Mozart concertos, the group of four concludes with this. We'll take on some other project, I'm sure. We're still in the middle of our Haydn trio cycle, which
you have plenty of fodder for that.
Yes, we've reached a very impressive total, and I'm still feeling there's a lot more pieces we need to perform. This summer, only one. On the final concert. So I'm feeling almost a lack of Haydn trios this summer.
There will be some Harbison on the program.
There will, and that's on the final concert. This is sort of our summer of the visual arts, in that we are including really four different exhibits. Photography by our jazz trombone player Tom Martin, extremely beautiful photos. Our operations manager Jackie Fitzwater is again exhibiting paintings. Andre Valle will have sculptures all over the grounds, which will be, I think, wonderfully festive and terrific. And we've also got this very significant local painter named Georgia O'Keeffe.
I've heard of yes.
Heard that name.
She is going to be featured in the final concert in an unusual way. We are going to exhibit a number of the quite familiar, I guess, Santa Fe chamber music posters, which, of course, she donated to the festival over many, many years. We're going to focus on an incident which occurred actually almost 30 years ago, 1981, a piece that I wrote for the festival in honor of Georgia O'Keeffe, at which she was present for rehearsals and concert and so forth. We'll show some documentation of that event. We're going to do quite a lot with it in a particularly wonderful kind of special event with the city of Sun Prairie. But then for the general public, we'll also be presenting some aspects of that program, along with we'll do the piece, which is my piano quintet. We will do the Haydn G minor trio, a wonderful one that we have been wanting to do for quite a while. And a little piece of mine called micro waltzes.
Oh, yes, sure.
Which are entirely micro waltzes.
What does that mean, micro waltzes?
Well, the longest one is less than a minute long.
Less than a minute waltz.
Yeah, the whole that's yeah. right.
And
the whole set is
whole
short.
The whole set is short. And they were written originally as dedication pieces to various supporters of Emmanuel Music in Boston. And they create a kind of a little continuous chain of very, very tiny pieces. And Ellie Kellerman's going to play them first, a Midwestern performance. So that last concert will include this piano quintet. And the piano quintet actually deals with O'Keeffe's art, most specifically in the first movement, in which I was actually looking a lot at certain of her somewhat later paintings, the very spare, sometimes with only a single graphic element, trying to mirror that in the textures of the piece. The middle movements are much more to do with a kind of tribute to, or kind of musical letter to, my sister cellist Helen Abrahamian. And I think maybe this today we might hear just a very short section from that piece, the second movement, the little Capriccio. And I think we have a performance by Apple Hill, right?
Apple Hill Chamber Players.
Yeah.
Isn't pizzicato wonderful? It does, as you say, Stephanie, require such precision, too. But it's somehow really stands out.
That was from the piano quintet dedicated to Georgia O'Keeffe by our guest composer, John Harbison, who is here because he's the co-artistic director of the Token Creek Chamber Music Festival, opening this coming weekend. And that piece will be part of a celebration of O'Keeffe in September, I believe, September 5th and September 6th.
So just to get the perspective on it, the festival begins this Saturday night at the barn?
It does, with the Mozart program.
And then it runs through several
Sunday, September afternoons. 6th is your closing concert, and in between there's Chopin at Debussy and There's also a little Bach on one of the programs. I think that last program.
The last program, yes. Mm-hmm. We're doing the F minor Bach sonata. Yeah, the middle programs are Russell Sherman's recital, which we're looking very much forward to. Russell has not played here in a long, long time, and he's very close to our activities back in Boston when Rosemary and I are there with Emanuel Church. And then the jazz feature this summer, which is Jimmy Van Heusen songs. We guarantee even the aficionado of Jimmy Van Heusen a few songs that they won't know, and of course a lot that they will, we hope. He's the unanimous choice of the band for the featured composer this year. Russell will be playing a French program. We feel like we haven't done a lot of French music with Token Creek. Partly, I guess, we're just more a Germanic or American gang, but Russell is going to be playing an entirely, I guess we can count Chopin as French.
Sure.
Why not?
To some degree.
Yeah.
And he always, I think, always brings something extremely fresh to everything he plays. And one never really knows what to expect. I hear him almost every year in recital, and I always make a guess at what he might be thinking about, and I'm almost always wrong. So I'm looking forward to this very much. He has recorded this material that he's going to be playing, but that doesn't mean that the recording is going to
match
necessarily
what he's doing.
Because he really does constantly rethink and recalibrate just about everything that he performs.
And that program is featuring preludes, is that correct? The Debussy Book of Preludes, Book 2, and some Chopin preludes?
Right. Mm-hmm. He's played a lot of French music over the years, though I associate him probably most basically with the Central German Romantic, the Schubert, Schumann.
Right.
But he does play a lot of French music, and he plays it always with a remarkably interesting, I think quite original sense of the color. Not a specifically French concept, but I think that's probably refreshing to hear.
So, quite the smorgasbord mm-hmm. out there, and always a pleasure to have John Harbison with us to tell us about the Token Creek Music Festival, always evolving and always diverse.
If you'd like more information, you can go to their website, which is tokencreekfestival.org, or you can call 608-341-2525. For information.
241.
Oh, I'm sorry, 241-2525. And those concerts take place in the Festival Barn outside of DeForest, Wisconsin. Thank you very much for joining us today, Mr. Harbison. We certainly appreciate it, and we look forward to great music during the festival.